Welcome to Harlem Stories. I'm Robert Lazo.
I'm Adam Feinberg.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about Upper Manhattan and the neighborhoods within it.
And we'll just talk about, you know, some of the, you know, big landmarks, some of the things that you're going to see and do in these neighborhoods. This is going to be quite broad, and we'll probably have, you know, very specific episodes that expand on this. But this is more like that generalized overview. I know we've discussed this in another episode, but at the same time, we felt like there was the need to elaborate and make this its own episode.
Yeah, because we often talk about Upper Manhattan, and we just kind of wanted to basically map out the territory.
Yeah, so let's just first, name out the neighborhoods, and then, we'll start from, East Harlem going forward. So East Harlem is all the way east, of course. And then as you go west, you've got Central Harlem. Further west from that is going to be the three West Harlem neighborhoods. Your first is Morningside Heights, and then as you go a little further north is going to be Manhattanville, and the most further north of the West Harlem neighborhoods is going to be Hamilton Heights. North of Hamilton Heights, you have Washington Heights, and north of Washington Heights is the last neighborhood as far north as you can go in Manhattan of Inwood.
Great. And do you want to start with one neighborhood to talk about?
Yeah, let's go with East Harlem and then work our way, on over, to the west and then go north a bit as well. So East Harlem. So East Harlem is, kind of an old neighborhood. It's a neighborhood that we have seen a little bit of change in. There's still quite a lot more change that we know that is being planned. And, we'll probably see a lot more beyond that. Why don't we talk about a couple of your favorite places to see and do in East Harlem?
Okay. So, a couple of things. So first of all, there is an amazing running track called the Thomas Jefferson Park. It's brand new, I should not say brand new, but fairly recent, kind of a sort of a first class, running surface. If you're a track person, if you like to run. Also there are a couple of notable restaurants, one being Rao's Italian restaurant, very, very world famous and very, very difficult to get into unless you know someone.
Yeah, basically you're not getting in there, unless you're pretty much famous or you know somebody that knows somebody.
And then there's another famous pizza place.
Patsy's, yeah. They're one of the original founding pizza families going back to the old New York, going back to the early 1900s.
And, of course, I think a lot of people that are in Manhattan might not realize there's a Costco.
Oh, yeah. There's a shopping center on the – it's pretty much right on the East River, right off the highway right there on 116th, 117th Street over there. There is a Costco. There is a Target. I know that there's a PetSmart and a few other retail locations. But it's a vertical mall, more or less. But, yeah, you've got your Costco there, for all your warehouse food buyers.
Very good. So, yeah, as Adam mentioned, that there's a lot of change in terms of new construction coming up in East Harlem. Probably in terms of residential, it's been taking a while, but we're starting to see more.
And the vast majority of these buildings tend to be small buildings, usually more like 6 to 15 apartments. It's got a long way to go before you start seeing, major changes. So any buyers looking there, do understand that, that these are mostly going to be smaller buildings that you're going to come across.
Great. All right. What's our next stop?
So now we're moving a little bit more further to the west, and we're looking at Central Harlem, which goes from 110th all the way up to 155th. And it's worth noting that the neighborhood of South Harlem is contained in there. The difference is really South Harlem is just south of 125th. But it is that same 110 to 1, but, with that northern border stopping at 125 rather than going all the way up to 155. So what are some of your favorites in Central Harlem?
Okay. So I will state the obvious, but we're starting off at Central Park North. So Central Park North is South Harlem. After that, there's a bunch of restaurants that are worth noting that go up and down Frederick Douglass Boulevard and around 116th Street. Among them, I'll just mention one that I like is Harlem Tavern.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, Frederick Douglass Boulevard, you'll see actually right now there's some vacancies a little further south of where you mentioned. So hopefully those will be filled soon enough, you know, with some new restaurants or coffee shops or lounges or, you know, some cool places. But really, for the most part, if you look at Frederick Douglass Boulevard from really like 110 to 125, there's lots of cool places, lots of things to see, do, eat, and drink.
And one more thing before I forget is the Schomburg Center. New York Public Library is an amazing facility in Central Harlem on 135th Street and Malcolm X.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Central Harlem is just such a large territory. I mean, we could devote, and I'm sure we will, devote an entire episode to itself in terms of, you know, all the things to see and do there. But for now, you know, we're just trying to, you know, keep it brief, keep it moving. But no conversation is complete of Central Harlem without talking about the world famous Apollo Theater. So anybody that knows anything about the music world knows that it was pretty much the launching point for all sorts of major stars, especially more so if you're a Black, African-American type of background, but not obviously exclusive. All the major performers have pretty much done a show at the Apollo Theater. And it's, you know, it's kind of world-class and so unique because they do have this amateur night that I know that it did make it to regular television. And amateur night was unique because if a performer, especially, remember, these are amateurs trying to get their start. If a performer was not liked, they would literally get booed off the stage. There is no hiding it. If you're good, the audience will let you know. If you're bad, the audience will let you know. There is no holding back. There is no place like the Apollo Theater. Obviously, Michael Jackson has kind of got his own, and the Jackson 5, they got their start, you know, pretty much at the Apollo Theater. Who was it that introduced them? It wasn't Gladys Knight. Can't remember offhand, but in any case, I mean, you know, all the major legends have really sung there, and you know, no conversation is complete about Central Harlem without the Apollo.
And maybe someday Harlem Stories will play the Apollo.
Yeah, maybe we can have our own little, you know, conversation space there. That would be kind of cool. I wouldn't necessarily want to be booed off stage, though.
No, I think we want to avoid that.
Yeah. So, yeah, obviously, there's just so much going on. It is such a large territory. There's multiple parks there. So, you know, the one thing that I think is worth noting, in the summer, Marcus Garvey it's got another name.
Mount Morris Park.
It's also known for its Jazz Fest in the summer. There's also this awesome watchtower, one of the few remaining watchtowers. It's actually recently been rebuilt, and it was a fire watchtower. So you could see, you know, all over, you know, Central Harlem to see, you know, monitor fires. So that was the original intention. Now it's more of a landmark piece at this stage.
Great. Next up?
Next up. So we're moving further west, and we're going to look at Morningside Heights. And Morningside Heights is most notable for not only Riverside Park, but everyone around the world pretty much knows Morningside Heights because of its world-famous educational institutions there. The most famous of them is Columbia University, but it is obviously not limited to Columbia. You have places like Barnard and Jewish Theological and Union Theological. That's actually known as Seminary Row in around 120th Street.
I'm going to throw in one more, Bank Street School of Education.
Of course, Bank Street School of Education. Yeah, I can't believe I missed that one. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of, there's Teachers College as well. You know, so there's all sorts of educational institutions. So everyone really knows that about Morningside.
And don't miss, there's a bookstore called Book Culture.
Oh, yeah, you definitely don't want to miss Book Culture. It's you know, great that to see independent bookstores, you know, still around. There's also Sakura Park, which is known for its Cherry Festival in the spring. And also, you know, let's not forget Grant's Tomb, where President Ulysses S. Grant and his wife are actually truly buried in Grant's Tomb. So the old age-old question of who's buried in Grant's Tomb, Grant and his wife.
And that's a national monument.
It is.
Moving on from Grant's Tomb, we are going up north to Manhattanville.
Manhattanville. So now Manhattanville is primarily going to be known for the Columbia University campus expansion. They were expanding 17.5 acres, which in Manhattan is pretty much unheard of. They recently bought the former Fairway site, which added another 2 acres or so. So now the entire Columbia campus expansion zone is really within the borders of Manhattanville, or just on the edge of it. And 19.5 acres. So that is a huge potential expansion for the campus.
It includes the Columbia School of Business and also the Columbia School of Arts.
And they've already opened all 6 buildings of Phase 1. We know that there's additional buildings that are going to be planned within that zone, but Columbia has not released exactly what's going to be in Phase 2 of the campus expansion. We do know that they've already started clearing the land on the south side of the street for 125th Street and Broadway, and that's going to be residential and residential housing for students and faculty. We do know that there was one of the rare drive-through McDonald's in Manhattan that was located on that site, and McDonald's has been promised a retail space there, although no longer a drive-in.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, but the reality is Manhattan is such at a premium, there was really no space for it.
Well, maybe they'll make a walk-through.
That is very possible. That is very possible.
Okay, shall we continue?
Moving northward. So we're going into Hamilton Heights. This is where I gambled on and bought my home 16 years ago. I didn't think it was that much of a gamble, primarily because the housing stock there is absolutely amazing. There are 2 historic districts in the neighborhood. You do have City College there, which has graduated more Nobel laureates than any other school, including Harvard, that have come out of the school. It's been called Hogwarts in Manhattan because it does have that facade with over 1,000 gargoyles and grotesques on the side of the building. And obviously, that's attracted a lot of filming. So it's also known as Hudson University, or the fictional, I should say, Hudson University. There are 2 historic districts. There is Hamilton, the Grange, Hamilton Grange Historic District, which is where Alexander Hamilton's home is actually still located and has actually been moved twice since it was built. The second time was in 2008, and it now rests in St. Nicholas Park, where it's now in its permanent home. And the second historic district is Sugar Hill. Absolutely spectacular homes. It was basically, if you were wealthy and successful in the 1950s and you were Black, it was, you know, the place to go. It was Sugar Hill. You were up on the top of the hill of, you know, out from the valley of Central Harlem. So looking out on the valley, and it was sugar for sweet, the sweet life, it was pretty much known as. So, you know, that is like the other historic district. Obviously, you have both Riverbank State Park and Riverside Park. And Riverbank State Park is actually the only state park in all of Manhattan.
And they've got a fantastic ice skating rink, which also doubles as a roller skating rink.
Olympic-sized swimming pools, track and a full-size running track, football, soccer fields, baseball fields, tennis courts, basketball courts, baseball fields, you name it, they pretty much have space for it there, including picnic and a carousel and a restaurant.
Great.
All on the Hudson River.
Yeah, the views from Riverbank State Park are just phenomenal.
Hidden gem. Most people don't know about it, and it's definitely, if you see it, it's definitely worth taking a walk over there.
All right, so next stop.
Washington Heights, as we go further north. So obviously, a lot of people know the hospital there that is one of the top research facilities in the entire nation and probably among the top in the world, Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. And that is, you know, in the 160s, 170s a little bit. They're a huge presence, huge employer, you know, in the area. I know when President Bill Clinton had a heart attack and the procedure there, he took space at Columbia Presbyterian. Not a surprise when you consider it is one of the top research hospitals in the world.
Absolutely.
So in terms of like historic districts and historic sites and things to do, you have the Audubon Historic District, which was previously home of John James Audubon. And, there's still the Trinity Cemetery over there. You have the mansion?
Morris Jamel.
Morris Jamel. Thank you for refreshing my memory. Morris Jamel Mansion. Absolutely spectacular. One of the few freestanding homes still left in Manhattan. And it's no exaggeration to say that George Washington actually did sleep there. And he actually set it up as a makeshift headquarters during the battle against the British. So he did stay there. It was a battle headquarters for a bit. And obviously, it's this very, very unique block. You won't see anything else like it in Manhattan.
And then, of course, nearby is High Bridge Park and Pool.
Yep. Just right down the street from the Morris Jamel Mansion is High Bridge. Large park overlooking, it's on one of the original bluffs overlooking the Long Island Sound. So you get just tremendous views from that elevation. It's definitely worth mentioning that Washington Heights, Hamilton Heights, Morningside Heights, these are named heights because you are elevated above everything else in Manhattan.
Yeah, and I wanted to also point out, if you happen to have seen the movie, the musical In the Heights, there's an amazing sequence that's shot in the pool, and it's a very, very large pool. I mean, it's bigger than Olympic size.
There's certainly a lot to see in Washington Heights. Some very, very cool, historic districts over there, too. So definitely worth taking a look at.
All right. And then we have one more stop.
So the last neighborhood I'm shamefully, I don't really visit too often, Inwood. It's the northernmost tip of Manhattan that is actually geographically still attached to Manhattan. And there's the Dyckman Farmhouse is one of the things to see there. I know there's, which is over 200 years old, still remaining. Again, one of those rare freestanding, houses that are left in Manhattan, and it's right along Broadway. There is the Baker Athletic Complex, and that's part of, the Columbia University campus. I know they have, for those that do crew, I know there's a launch there, for the Hudson River. I know that they have just a huge sports complex there.
And also, don't miss the Cloisters, which is an amazing collection of Renaissance art, tapestries especially. But the whole architecture of that particular facility is amazing. It used to be was built by the Rockefeller family, correct?
I believe so. I could be mistaken, but I think we're both on the same page there.
Yeah, and it now is affiliated with the Metropolitan Museum of Art. So it is just quite an amazing place to be.
So that's just to, give you just an inkling of some of the cool, sites and things to do and shop, a little bit of the shopping aspect, but some of the cool aspects that we tend to see. Obviously, we don't have time to cover everything, but that gives you just a quick view.
Thanks for joining us at Harlem Stories, and we'll see you next time.